Good morning, everybody. Glad you could make it. Hope that doesn't get too loud. But anyway, we're glad to see everybody here today. And we're going to have a message. If you want to get your Bibles and turn to Psalm 139, we'll be looking at that later on in the sermon. But anyway, we have a lesson here. And it's something which I think we all forget. We continuously forget the fact that God knows us. And we're still trying to figure out who and what we are. God already knows. And God knows us better than we know ourselves. And we just don't give him the credit for doing that. And we forget that. And that's why we have problems. All right. God knows what we're doing all the time. Now, for some of us, that says we will probably respond with, uh-oh. I mean, just, uh-oh. But anyway, if you're not trying to live a righteous life, this thought should concern you. And so even a task that we take for granted, like sitting down in a chair or on a bench, is known by God. God knows everything we're doing. He knows every breath we take. He knows the number of hairs on our head. Some of us, we might be curious about that, but still, he knows that already. And God watches us as we get up out of bed or out of the chair or walk out the house or get in the car to drive down the road. He's watching us. I mean, God's eyes are goes out throughout the world seeking who his righteous ones are and what the wicked are doing. And God knows everything. And if we could only remember that God knows what we are doing, we should correct our crooked ways. And that just common sense that, okay, if God's watching me in everything I do, shouldn't I be behaving myself to the best of my ability? I mean, that's what it comes down to. See, God knows our thoughts as we are thinking them. And once again, uh-oh. I mean, we may not come out and say something, but you know what? God knows what we're thinking. And with God, it's as if we're speaking them out loud anyway. And so we need to be careful what we're thinking, not only about ourselves, but about others. And so he knows our motives and why we do what we do. You know, I remember Bill Cosby had all those things about his kids. Why'd you do that? I don't know. I mean, those were great comedy skits, but I think every parent experiences this when they ask their teenager, why did you do that? I don't know. And sometimes we don't even know why we did it. Well, technically, yeah, it's because we wanted to do it. That's why we did it. I mean, that was the most thing we have to really realize. And sometimes we cannot figure out why we do it. And in some things, that's the case. But God tries to direct our thoughts by giving us his commands. But in the end, we still decide what we're going to do. You know, when we trust in the Lord and he says he's going to direct our path, all the ways of a righteous man, the Lord directs his path. And we learn that. Jeremiah 10:23, it's not man who walketh to direct his own steps. And so we should be directed by the Lord, and the Lord does that. The Lord has given us commands. He says, this is how I want you to walk. And of course, in the Bible, when it uses that word walk, that means your manner of life, how you walk and navigate through life. So your lifestyle, your behavior, everything. And God has given us that information we need to know to do it. We just need to remember to do it. I mean, it's that simple. And even then, God knows what we are doing and thinking all the time. All right, God knows our actions and even our tendencies, you know, given situations. You know, this is why they send professional ball players, they send out scouts to scout out the team. They learn what their tendencies are, and so they prepare for that. And good teams have basically done their research, and well, when we get in this situation, what are they likely going to do? And really, if you're a real solid sports fan, you're going to know. You're going to know when they line up, okay, they're going to throw a screen pass. They're going to do this. They're going to give it to the running back. Or you can just tell by the way they line up. And if you watch them enough, you'll learn what their tendencies are. But let's face it, the opposition has already done that as well. And that's why it doesn't work out. It's not as successful as they would like it to be. And so God knows what our tendencies are when we reach a certain situation. What are we likely to do? Are we liable to give in to temptation, or we're going to say no? I mean, he knows our tendencies and everything we do. So if God is watching us this carefully, how should we behave? I mean, that ought to be a question. So in order for our behavior to be excellent, we need to fix our minds on things that will please God. All right, how do we do that? Well, Colossians 3, 1 and 2 tells us, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. All right, see, to comprehend that God knows everything, even the things said before we say them, we should be humble to recognize the greatness of God and his omniscience. I mean, when you really think about it, God knows not only what I will say in the next 15 minutes, God knows what I'm going to be saying my very last words upon this earth. God knows that. He knew that before time began. That's the hard part to comprehend for us as humans. It's almost beyond our comprehension. It boggles our mind. And it is really beyond our human comprehension to recognize how much God knows. God knows everything. That word omniscience, I mean, omni means all, and science, knowledge, all knowledge. God knows everything. And while he may know who is going to go to heaven and who's going to hell, it's still our choice, folks. He gives us the choice to make. And yeah, he wants everybody. And I think in certain ways, God kind of directs us in the right direction. I mean, we're going along. He may put somebody in our path that will get us on the right direction. And so God's going to help us. And I mean, he's trying to help everybody. But it's just really beyond our human comprehension to really see the intricacies and the details of what God is doing for us to keep us on the right track. And like I said, it's still up to us. It's up to us if we're going to serve God or if we're just going to serve ourselves. And so in Psalm 139 in verse 6, the writer says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high, I cannot attain it." And that's what we're talking about. Sometimes we feel this way, and I'm sure we do. And all the more reason to seek knowledge that comes from above so that we can live better lives. And that's the purpose of our study. Study to show yourselves approved. And 2 Timothy 2:15. So, yes, we need to seek that knowledge. We need to be filled with that knowledge. Paul prayed to the Colossians and said, "I pray that you be filled with the knowledge of his will." I mean, when we learn what God's will is and we do it, then that's going to be bringing about our salvation. And that's what we're looking for. So God searches the hearts of men, and we know that. And in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, it says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." And so that is very true. I mean, he's going to search each person's heart. He knows what's in their mind. And he's going to basically punish people for what they've done or reward them for what they've done. And that's what this passage is teaching. But God knows our hearts. I mean, he knows it better than we know our own hearts sometimes. And so the heart can be very deceptive, because we read in Proverbs 16:2, every man's way is right in his own eyes. Sometimes we get that big head and we have that pride. Well, I don't do anything wrong, so why do I have to ask for forgiveness? Why do I have to serve God if I don't do anything wrong? And so the heart can be desperately sick, and so we must be aware of that. God knows us each intimately. And like I said, if you haven't been as strong faithfully as you should, that ought to give you that uh-oh moment. So God knows us better than we know ourselves. All right, so can anyone run away from God? Can anyone hide themselves from God and get out where God doesn't see what we're doing or can't see what we're seeing? It's not like we have a lead shield over us to protect us from that kryptonite out there. I mean, no. So no one can run away from God. But we see people try and run away from God all the time. Well, they just don't want to acknowledge him, just like it says in Romans chapter 1. They did not see fit to acknowledge God as God. And so they run away from God all the time. They don't like what his message is. They don't like having to live according to the message that he gave them. And so people do try and run away from God, but are they successful? Can they hide? No. We know that's the case. They forget that they cannot run away from God. Nobody can. And so their reason for running away from God are many. And yeah, we just mentioned a few of those, but there's many reasons people try and get away from God. And they just don't like what he says. You remember Jonah, many years ago, tried to run away from the Lord. What? And look where that got him. In the belly of that great fish or the whale, whatever that was, God prepared for him. And that didn't work out for him. When people get overwhelmed in their lives, they want to escape. Yeah, I mean, sometimes they escape by doing it by drinking or doing drugs, something to alter their minds. Some get involved in immoral behavior, thinking that this will be my escape route. Some just sink down into a deep depression, and some just want to escape the living. And there's too much of that. There are too many people taking their own lives all the time. And it's all these various reasons. See, but all of our running cannot remove us from God and his knowledge of us. And we have to remember that. And God made us. You know, and we're not the product of years of evolutionary events either, as some people want to try and convince us of. In Psalm 100, verse 3, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, a lot of people do not want to give God credit for anything, and they think they're self-made individuals. And a lot of times when you're reading the biographies of people who have made it big, they kind of say self-made individual. In other words, hard work, they applied the principles of hard work, doing the best that they could, and all these things, which, if they'd read the Bible, that was the formula God gives for success. And it always worked. God's formulas always work. And so, we are his. We belong to him. And therefore, we need to be paying attention to him. All right, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thoughts from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. So, we are not the product of years of evolutionary events. I mean, we're here for a purpose. God gave it to us. God formed us in our mother's wombs. And God was paying attention when nature was following its natural course of events from conception until birth. He was doing that. Notice what it says in Psalm 139, 13 and 14. For thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. We owe God for our lives, our very lives. We owe him for that. And he brought us into existence. And so it happens. And so God still watches us. And for the faithful and the righteous, God protects us in many ways that we cannot even comprehend. I mean, there's a lot of evil in this world. There's people out there who would just as soon kill us as to look at us just because we believe in God. And so we have to know God is watching out and protecting us and helping us along the way. See, God may know the number of days we will spend on the earth, but our living is left up to us. And so that's what we have to remember. And it's not like God is pushing buttons up there and we have no choice in the matter, which some of the false doctrines that people teach that we have no choice in the matter. But sadly, events take place that may shorten a life, or as we perceive it, but God already knew that. God already knew something was going to happen. Someone might get struck by a car, might go down in an airplane crash or something like that. God knew that before he said, let there be light. God knows that stuff. That's why it's so hard for us to comprehend. But we look at things, well, they had such a long life ahead of them. When we see young people get killed and hurt and damaged in some way, well, they had so much to offer this life, and they could have had a good life. And yet, we see it happen all the time that some lives are shortened before they even are born. And that's a real tragedy. I mean, so accidents happen. And diseases all come about because of what happened back near the beginning. What? When Adam and Eve ate the fruit, brought sin and death into this world. And death and sin faces everyone because of what they did. And it was all because of sin. And we also know sin is responsible for separating us from a relationship with God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. So why do people think they can run away from God? Well, the psalmist tried to answer that. He said in beginning verse 7, where can I go from thy spirit, or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. See, the psalmist realized God is everywhere, watching everything. And that's why we should be reading the scriptures, especially the Psalms, to recognize they recognize this about God. Why can't we? Why can't we recognize this about God, that he is watching over us and he is there watching us? And let's face it, if we get on the wrong path, he is doing something to try and guide us back towards that right path. And so we have to do that. So shouldn't this get us to try and correct our ways? It should. Okay, so as overwhelming as these thoughts are, we should seek to find the thoughts of God and learn from them. See, as the psalmist states it so eloquently in Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18, he says, how precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. I mean, that's just some beautiful language to recognize how precious and great it is that God took the time to speak to me. I mean, think about that. I mean, does that ever cross your mind that God has spoken to me? The one who created this heavens and the earth, who put this world in order, holds all things in place, he actually took time to speak to me. And he speaks to me through his word. And the psalmist recognized this. The sum of his words are many. And we can take any one passage and we could speak for a long time on any one of those passages, like we do with some commentaries. They have so many different thoughts and ideas that can pop in there. And then when we start combining verses and comparing them one with the other, and all of a sudden you just get more information. We cannot hold it all. We cannot consume it all. I mean, no matter how much we learn, how much we learn about God, there's more to learn. And we have to know that. So that's why we're supposed to be continuously growing in knowledge and in grace. You know, 2 Peter 3:18. That's why we are supposed to be continually growing. A lot of people, they get to the point, well, I don't need to learn anything more. I've learned enough. Some people get the idea, well, if they've gotten to the point where they've been baptized, they think, well, I know enough. I don't need to learn anything else. I mean, they're woefully lacking in what they need to know. So in the end, we need to submit ourselves to God. There's no question about that. And he, even though God knows what's going to happen, do you know what's going to happen? Here's the point. I don't know what's going to happen. I would like to think that I'll be in the right place, but I don't know that. None of us know that. None of us know for sure. No matter how confident we may be at this moment, none of us knows for sure. So, what do we have to do? We need to learn if there are things in our lives that will harm our souls, ask God to lead us in the everlasting way. That's where we need to be. That's what we need to do. And just like I said, Psalm 139, 23 and 24, here's what we should be doing and repeating this often, saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." See, when it's left up to us, there's hurtful things in our pathway that we may not even be looking at or perceiving down the line. But when we're just thinking about ourselves, that's the way it is. But God is going to lead us in the everlasting way. And how does he do that? Well, we have his word to direct us. So that's what we have. So it is time to learn from God what you need to do and stop trying to run away. You know, I don't know if I've said anything that will affect you or not, but hopefully I'll impress upon you the fact, doesn't matter what I say, you just got to know God knows everything about you, what's in your heart, everything you're ever going to do. So keep that in mind. And like I said, how you live and behave is really still upon you. God's not going to force you to do anything. God's not going to force you to believe in him. God's not going to force you to repent. God's not going to force you to confess. God's not going to force you to be baptized. But if you want the salvation that God offers, you need to be doing that out of faith. Be doing those things. So we're going to offer an invitation. We always offer the invitation to give people the opportunity to get their life right with God. If you want to do that publicly, we'll be glad to assist you. If you feel you need to just go home and get in your closet and talk to God, we encourage you to do that as well. But whatever the case, make it right with God before this day is over, before much time lapses on. So we're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone needs to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.